He said, "Is this really what you want to do? You've gone through this education, and is this?" And I said, "You know what? I enjoy this. This is what I want to do." And I grew up in the hotel business. Ever since I could walk, I was in hotels, in and out of hotels, and started at the bottom and kind of worked my way. But even when I was in med school, I'd like to look at numbers. I was looking at numbers, hotel statistics, and things of that nature. So kind of understand that concept of, maybe this is a mistake for you. I mean, in the economy, I graduated in 2008 and came back at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. And that's when the economy started to take a downturn. And so it was kind of an iffy situation for me to join. At the same time, Dad was kind of saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm funneling down." And then, things happened to work out, and we're here. We're growing. We've got a couple of hotels in the pipeline. We're building one. Hopefully, we'll break ground in about a month or so. So yeah, I know exactly that feeling of, hey, is this the right decision? Do I need to, rethink what my career path is going to be in the future? But I kind of made that full force move in, and that partly led to me joining the chamber as well. Initially, I wanted the exposure. I mean, yes, I knew the operations growing up in the hotel business, but it's completely different when you look at it from a 35,000 foot level down. And so, I kind of just had this urge. I want the exposure. I have big shoes to fill. So I went out, I joined a whole bunch of boards, and I sat on the Choice Hotel Owners Council, which is their franchise advisory committee, for about 4 years. It's an elected position. So I did that. I was able to rub shoulders with the CEO and the CFOs and decision makers on the upper management. And they were based in Silver Spring. Now they're in Rockville. And so I was on that. Chaired the Comfort Suites Committee for a franchising committee. A lot of stuff that we're not exposed to on the day-to-day operational or in the field. And so that really opened my eyes up to the larger picture. Also got involved with, I don't know if you're familiar with AHOA, A-H-O-A, Asian American Hotel Owners Association.
Oh, interesting.
Now that, AHOA is the largest hotel association in the U.S., and almost, I think now 13,000 members.
Wow!
And they're actually one of the largest lobbyists because of the numbers. And so I joined them as a member, and they got me involved with the youth hoteliers, and then I joined different chambers, different CVBs. I sit on the Cabarrus County Convention and Visitors Bureau, involved with the Statesville. I'm on the board of directors for the Statesville Chamber as well. And Heath Pryor, who's our financial advisor, actually nominated me for the Charlotte Chamber position, which I started at the beginning of the mid part of last year, May of 2013. And Heath was terming out, and he nominated me, and so I joined the chamber. And it was a little bit new for me because Statesville Chamber there's only one chapter, which is
right.
It's a smaller city, there's a lot more relevance in what we talk about as far as impact, and obviously in Charlotte, Northwest Chapter is one of, I believe, seven chapters, and. So the dynamic was a little bit different, but it's fun because smaller chapter, but there's a lot more value to the input.
There's a lot of weight.
It does absolutely. So we saw that dynamic, but very happy I joined the Charlotte Chamber, and since then, I was power up chair last year, actually into this year, and. Believe it or not, our power up chair Northwest Chapter won last year. Mm-hmm. Justin.
Yep.
So Justin was from the Northwest Chapter and kind of coached him through with some of our board members. And this year, he's nominated to be vice chair, and next year as chair for Northwest Chapter. And this was not planned at all. I just kind of said, you know what, Heath? Okay, I'll join. Let me see what it's all about.
Sure.
And but it's been a great experience.
So I sent you some stuff to kind of look over. Did you? What things did you kind of pick out from there that resonated with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I just kind of jotted some notes on here. We talked a little bit about, obviously, I filled in some blanks here. My name is Pritish Nagarji, and with ABC Investments Management Company, the vice president. Kind of explained what we did as far as an accomplishment, but you'll see some of that in here as well.
Sure.
Your number one as a starter, so what do you love about what you do? That's a great question. I mean, I think it's relevant because I made that change from medicine to commercial real estate.
That's a pretty big shift.
So I kind of have to love what I do.
You better.
and I do. You know, medicine was great. I love the basic science aspect of it. And then going into clinicals and rotations, for me at least, it was not what it was chalked up to be. I mean, dealing with patients, diagnosing them, have family members waiting in the waiting room. And I'm a social individual, and you know, maybe the passion didn't lie where it needed to be. My passion was in the science, not necessarily on the clinical side.
Right.
And so I kind of, at that time, this was 2006, 2007, 2008. I took a survey of the attendings and the PIs I was with, and the way the healthcare system was going, kind of read the writing on the wall, so to speak. 9 out of 10 of them said, hey, you know what, if I had this opportunity now to do it again, I wouldn't do it. So it kind of validated what I was already thinking. But I did graduate, and at that time I was matching for my residency.
Right.
And so I had about six, seven months, and in that time I brokered a couple of deals. I got my license and I brokered a couple of deals, and then officially joined the company because I did have some free time. And then I said, you know, good day to medicine and hello commercial real estate. But the idea of, on a development side, of taking a piece of dirt where there's nothing and having that vision of putting a hotel or a mixed-use development, whether we master plan or not, from nothing to something, I mean, that's there's tangible accomplishment there. There's something to, you know, the fruits of your labor, so to speak. So there's some intangible fruits of labor that that come with it, that come with medicine as well. I think a lot of it is, but having that vision and being able to develop something where, hey, you know, I see it in my mind and it's going to be this way, and it pans out that way. I think that's really what I love, the development side. Operationally is great too. I mean, you know, in hotels, because ABC Investments and what we do is vast, but especially in hotels, being able to serve our guests, hospitality is what we do. I think I was instilled with being hospitable from a very young age with the Indian culture and you know, inviting people into our home, and that was almost second nature. And so I can extend that out into our hotels and with our employees, with our training, and you know, that when somebody says something good about it, leaves a good review about us or our employees or about the hotel, whether it's TripAdvisor or any other review, you take that for face value. That means a lot. So I mean, we love what we do. Work with great people. I'm a social guy. I like to talk and have the ability to the gift of gab, so to speak. So that's a lot to do with what I do, and I put in maybe the same amount of hours, 80 hours, 90 hours a week, but I enjoy what I do, and I kind of look forward to the next step. You know, how are we going to progress? And part of it is also my father and my family. Actually, my mom and my dad both. They established a company, and through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and it got me to where I am now. And I kind of want to take that and take it to the next step, which we are. We're in that transition. I mean, it's happening as we speak. But they set a footprint, and I just want to expand on that. More of a legacy, you know, and a little bit of background. My parents, my mom is originally from India, and my dad was born and raised in Africa. And his father passed away at a very young age, and so he was on his own. And coming from nothing to something, kind of a rags to riches story, that has a motivational insight for me. That you know, if my father can do this, and you know, this is the land of opportunity, which he definitely took it and grew with it. So expanding that, I think, is just innate for me. And I love it. I mean, I love, you know, people who I work with, what we do, the development side. And that's not only hotels, that could be apartments, that's bringing restaurants, gas stations, as we're doing now, and maybe assisted living facilities and things of that nature. But I you know, that the idea of having being a true entrepreneur and learning about something new and taking it and applying it, I think it's fascinating. And I guess that's why I like the science of medicine. I mean, it's, you know, having the knowledge and being able to apply it.
I love to figure out how things work.
Yeah.
I think that's just fascinating too.
Oh, that's how that. Oh,
absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's, I mean, different pathways and you know, and with medicine and how physiology works with pharmacology and pathology. I mean, it's fascinating. And so I was so interested in that and how it works in the clinical aspect of it, of implementation, but actually diagnosing and being with patients is
not your thing.
Whole different ballgame.
Right, right. A whole lot more emotional stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I know when my mom recently, about a year and a half ago, passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry
and,
to hear.
Thanks. And her doctor was so compassionate. It was so hard for him. I could tell, you know, they talk about don't get engaged. Well, he liked my mom.
Yeah.
And he had to tell her that she had a terminal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And that, it really was hard on him. It was really hard on him. And I felt for him in that because, I mean, yeah, it was devastating for our family. Absolutely. It was devastating my mom. But it was hard on him, too. It cost him something emotionally that's different from the science side.
Right? Absolutely. It's, it's pretty much black and white on
right.
science. And you know, and so going on to the clinical side, and it's tough when you do have that relationship. I mean, those individuals who can do that, I applaud them, and that's why they do what they do, and they're great at that.
Right.
I didn't want to be that in that
sure.
physician who doesn't have that compassion, or
right.
who can't, or who tries to draw a line.
Right.
And
here are the facts. You know, deal with it as you will, patient.
Yeah.
But there's actually, I mean, there's a big impact on how you receive the information and that connection that they have with the physician as well that impacts the patient's health.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, that's a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the delivery of what you say and how you say it and the compassion in which you do it in, yes, absolutely. I mean, my grandmother passed away about six years now, and it was tough. But and the weird part is I was actually going through this part of my life around the same time, and so I knew exactly what was happening. But you know, we moved her from one hospital to another and to another rehab facility for that particular reason.
Right, would get the care that she needed.
Right. Right, and so you know, and that was also playing in my mind. I said, if I was in that position as a physician, how much would I be able to put into this?
Right,
and not saying that I'm not a cold-hearted individual.
No, but it's a hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's just
sure.
very difficult. And so then I had to realize at that point in time that who I am and what I enjoy doing and what I'm good at is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
If I enjoy what I do, then they say, you know, that you're not working a day in your life. Which
right.
which sometimes it feels that way, sometimes it doesn't.
Right, that's right.
But 9 times out of 10, it's you know, it's a great feeling that we're entrepreneurs. We can do what we want to do and enjoy what we do, even the failures.
That's right.
Even the failures. I'm not reporting to somebody. I have to be able to chalk it up to myself.
Well, I do think you probably have a challenge in that you got to tell Dad, right?
Yeah.
That's a whole other emotional thing that goes along with that.
Yeah, you're right. And working with family, but he's also, there's a part of that transition is that he's also phasing out.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, yes, there's reporting to Dad, but I think there's, at this point in time, I mean, initially I had to prove myself,
right.
Allow him to understand, hey, I do know what I'm talking about in the hotels, but now I think there's that trust factor, and he's pretty much phased out as far as the day-to-day operation stuff. When it comes to bigger ticket items, whether it's loans or refinancing or structuring debt, he'll put his 2 cents in.
Sure.
And he needs to. I mean, a lot of the loans are guaranteed by him and mom. And so that's the case.
Well, but he's probably learned some painful lessons in his career too.
And I have one of those highlighted here. I found a mentor who was in the business. The mentor taught me, and that would be him, because he has, I mean, since 79, so going on 35 years, has learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely learn, and I have learned a lot so far and continue to learn. But I think that's what makes us a little bit different, is that I have a good consultant in my back pocket who will be able to assist me or advise me on the right and wrong, or this is right, this is wrong, what we need to do this as opposed to that, but doesn't put his two cents in when he thinks that I'm doing things either right or wrong, but allows me to make
the freedom to make the decisions.
Correct.
That's valuable. That's valuable.
And that's, you know, it's been a journey. And part of it is because of getting involved, not only on the hotels, operating a hotel is not hard, but understanding the concept of development, being in the right market, how to yield manage, revenue management, the sales aspect of hotels, dealing with people, dealing with clients, customers, those all came from joining Choice Hotel Owners Council and being able to be on that level, or Statesville Hotels Owner Council, or the CVBs, or the chambers, and being able to expose myself as an individual. Not the company is great, and my father, you know, it has his own legacy as well, but I think I'm not the individual that would be riding coattails, so to speak, on to kind of make my own footprint, but extend what we've done so far. I don't know. I might have hit some of these points.
That sounds great. No, it sounds great. This is good. I think it's helpful to get some color about who you are and what drives you, because what we're trying to do with this campaign is highlight that there are lots of different places that people play in the chamber as far as the roles that we have, and it's, everybody's got a story.
Sure.
You know, we've all got a story, and I think trying to capture those stories and see what it is that's working for the chamber. It's been fascinating to me talking to small business owners about some of the things that work for them, and then talking with the CEO of asset management for Tia Kreff, Carol Deckbar, and about what's working for her, or talking to somebody at Carolina's Healthcare about, you know, what is the value proposition for her to be engaged with the chamber. Very different from the person who owns the art gallery. I mean, it's just a different experience. So one of the things we're trying to do is capture that from different folks, and that's what we're really after here. So tell me about your experience with the chamber. You said you decided to get plugged into the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, and had you looked over the list of things that
I did.
Were there? Okay,
so I did. I kind of made some notes. I mean,
sure.
So growing my business with the chamber, networking. Obviously, I'm on the board of directors for the Northwest chapter. So being with the Charlotte chapter, with the Charlotte Chamber rather. It has allowed me to be a lot more exposed in the markets that we are in, Northwest chapter specifically, meeting other business owners, other businesses and companies as well. I'm going to get back to growing my business, but networking is huge.
So help me understand that. So you're responsible for developing new properties and operating existing properties and making sure that heads in beds, essentially, right?
Absolutely.
So how is it that the people who live in your community are relevant to you getting people to stay in your hotel?
Well, more so than those who are living in the community is those individuals that work at these specific companies. Obviously, we have director of sales and things of that nature, but what I can do is I can push those leads off and say, hey, you know what, I talked to this individual, and they work for ABC Company. They have five people coming in every week to tour a facility or their tour a plant or whatever it may be. Why don't you go follow up on that? That's a great lead. I think that's the value.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as a company, I mean, there might be somebody who says, hey, you know what, I've got a piece of land here and it'd be great for a hotel, or it'd be great for apartments, or, you know, what have you. So there's always, networking is great. And those, I've met a couple individuals who we've actually started doing business with because of networking at the chamber.
Okay.
Which I would have never met otherwise.
So tell me about your networking experience. How do you network? What does that look like for you?
How do I network? Well,
when it comes to the chamber, what do you do with the chamber or through the chamber, or how does the chamber help you network? What does that look like?
Well, the meetings, our monthly meetings, that's a fantastic way to network. And being on the board, we plan these luncheons, whatever topic it is for that particular month. And when we host these luncheons, we have a good turnout, anywhere from 35 to 60 individuals for either entrepreneurs or work for a company. And so that it brings them all to one place. And I think that's important. The topic of the luncheon is relevant to who comes, but at the same time, the importance for me networking, it allows, how I network is, I approach people. I ask them if they're chamber members, and you know, they see the badge, they say I'm a board member, so that, you know, they'll ask, and I approach people and ask what they do, and I explain what I do and whether they are fit for what we do, and if there's going to be a further conversation or not. That's okay, but there's always, you know, you never know. Maybe that individual has a cousin or an uncle that's coming in and may need a hotel room. Whether they reach out to me or I put them in the right contact, whoever it may be, whatever hotel, there's a mutual benefit there. So I always look for the positive when I network with other individuals. There's always going to be something that we could help each other with, whether it's personally or professionally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, an individual might tell me, hey, they have a boat for sale, and I might be interested in that. I mean, well, I don't know where the conversation would go, but it could be, you know, on a personal level.
Well, you can never predict where the conversation is going to go.
No.
Right?
Right.
And you never know who they're married to, or who, to your point, their cousin or their sibling, right? And,
absolutely.
And what the relevance might be. You know, I was just talking to my brother-in-law at the you know, family get-together last weekend, and he was telling me about this problem that he has where he's got these people coming into town, and he's got this hotel that's jerking them around. You know, you would never have known that talking to the plumber, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
that just, right.
It's, exactly. I mean, you kind of dive in there, and you know, Terry DeBoo, she had a little session at our luncheon one time, and she mentioned that to be a good networker, you have to listen, and how you listen is the other individual, you ask in questions where the other individual is talking about themselves, because that's the best, that's what they like to do. And so I get a lot more insight of what type of individual I feel like I can cater to that conversation or what that may be. But you're right, I mean, to dive into something that's you have no idea, and it could be hotels, it could be apartments, it could be, hey, did you hear about this great piece of land that's here and it's for sale? But now I do.
Right. So, yeah. Absolutely. Or somebody whose financing fell through and now there's an opportunity for you to, you know, take over a piece of property or something like that.
Working on the board, that's been great. We have great board members. As I mentioned, Heath Pryor with Wells Fargo Advisors, he actually nominated me, and I'm on the board through him. But we have great members. We had Dale Gilmore, Yvette Salerno. I mean, she just single-handedly put on the Basopoli event, our signature event, which was last Thursday. Great event. I mean, went on without a hitch. The second year in a row, but she was the signature chair.
Well, talk for just a second about what is Basopoli.
Yeah, absolutely. So Basopoli, we created the Basopoli last year as our signature event for the Northwest chapter. And we highlight companies and businesses in the Northwest chapter, specifically those who are members. We changed the concept a little bit this year versus last year. We pretty much sat in the bus and we drove around to different businesses, and we got out at a couple, and we had our finale at the Hendrick Auto Mall last year. This year, we changed it a little bit. We still met at North Lake Mall. We still highlighted different areas in the footprint. The route was completely different. So I'll take this one step back. Everybody gets on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't bring the pamphlet, but the vets firm did a really cool thing. They took kind of a Monopoly map and put different trivia and different attractions and businesses along the Monopoly board. And it was very creative. And each time somebody answers a question from trivia in the Northwest footprint, they get a little board piece that they can put onto the board. It was great.
Very engaging.
It was. I mean, it got everybody on the bus thinking, answering questions. We had Jim Little from Channel 9, who was the our MC.
Oh, nice.
He was very good. And so we actually started at North Lake Mall. We drove down Harris up Old Statesville, pointed out a couple businesses and historic landmarks. Which I'm born and raised in Charlotte. And I've been here for a very long time. But a lot from last year and this year, there was still things that I learned about that I did not know about. In the Northwest chapter. I mean, the footprint is so large. It's still a small chapter, but it's the largest footprint. And so there's so many things that we were pointing out that I had no idea until we actually did this event. And then we ended up at Hendrick Auto Mall, the new dealership Audi, and we had lunch there. We had some sponsors there that spoke for a little bit, and then we got on the bus. We went back down and some other businesses and landmarks, and then we went to the CPCC North Campus, Marancas. Chris Haley is also a board member, and he was able to. Get us in the forensic science lab at CPCC. So we kind of did a very brief tour and hands-on experience with how to track bullet holes from trajectory levels and how to break into cell phones. And we kind of
So you're qualified to be CSI now.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly CSI, but we didn't have enough time to actually do the hands-on. They had a couple of rooms that were set up with crime scenes, and you can kind of walk in. And
well, I would think with your background, you'd eat that up, right?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a great event. That especially the CPCC, that was fun. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and then we got back on the bus, saw a couple other things, and went back to the mall and had a lot of goodies and a lot of sponsors. So it was a good event. Very fun, very engaging, good turnout.
How many folks did you have come?
We had about 45.
Okay.
So last year we were thinking about getting two buses. We packed out the bus about 56, and that's how much it holds. And this year we're thinking about getting a second bus, but I think we might have to do Busopoly every other year, mm-hmm. kind of change the signature event, mm-hmm. So it doesn't get too stale. But it was a fun event nevertheless.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So as you think about being on the board and the people that you interact with on your board, who's somebody you've gotten to know better as a result of being on the board?
Dale Gilmore, I have, and we have mutual interest in business. He has an accounting firm. We need an accountant, and so we've exchanged a lot of correspondence on business related aspects of what do you think about this? And obviously, we're thinking about using his service, but he's become a good friend as well outside of the chamber. Yvette Salerno, who is vice chair, who will be vice chair next year. I've gotten to know her very well. Moving Ideas is her company. It's a marketing firm in Berkdale, I believe, off of Huntersville. And got to know her very well as well. And great people.
So as you've gotten to know them, has that been directly, like, during your chair, your board meetings, or has it been those board meetings have been kind of a jumping off point for something else? How does that work?
Yes, initially through the board meetings, and then with Dale, it is a jumping off point because we've met with his firm outside of the chamber. Well, we've talked about how our businesses can align and what we can do for each other. I mean, how his services can work for our company and whatnot. And that's been outside of the chamber. With Yvette, we've had chamber, not necessarily board meetings, but we've had Basopoli meetings, other marketing meetings. at her office or outside of the chamber board meetings, and that's led to us getting to know each other personally on a personal level. Her husband, her son, mm-hmm. her daughter, how she's involved with the church, and so we don't necessarily meet regularly outside of the chamber, but we do keep in contact.
Sure.
And just on a personal level, I mean, initially we thought we might be able to work together on for her with a marketing company and us as a management company, and we might still. Okay, she did bid a couple times on some other projects for us, but it didn't really pan
out.
But still, I mean, you know, there's no bad blood. I mean,
Do you think? Do you think you would have gotten to know her as a regular member of the chamber?
No.
Okay.
No.
So what was it about being on the board that allowed you to be able to build a relationship?
A lot of it is being in a boardroom with 6-10 people, building a rapport, a relationship with chamber for chamber events, but also taking that and saying, hey, how was your day? How's your son doing? How's football?
Sure.
How am I doing as my father? I mean, you know, and they know dad has been to Basopoli, so they met him a couple times. But yes, so that I would not have had that opportunity if it was outside of the board meetings. At a chamber event, there's so many people, and likelihood to build a relationship as we have is, I don't think it would happen.
Yeah, it's one of the things I think that people don't necessarily understand about chamber engagement, that sure, there's an opportunity to meet somebody, maybe exchange business cards at a luncheon, but that's a very different dynamic from being in the room, as
Absolutely.
You said, you know, where you're in the room with them and you're talking about stuff, you're both committed to the same goal, which is helping the chapter's members, and you're finding ways to do that, things, problems to solve, or ideas to share around that. And I think people don't necessarily understand that that can translate to making you a better business person and making you more connected with community.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's spot on. I mean, you know, that community, as you say, community, Northwest chapter, is a relatively small community. Mm-hmm. It's large in a footprint, but as far as the engagement, it's relatively small. So that allows us to, I mean, that's our number one focus, is to get more members, mm-hmm. Increase that engagement and the exposure. And Evan and I are going to be working very closely next year as we move into 2015, specifically to do that. How are we going to gear our luncheons mm-hmm. And our monthly meetings to increase membership, increase engagement in the community, specifically in the Northwest. But yeah, it's, you know, learning and getting to know somebody on a board level is completely, has been a jump off point, but I think it'll lead to some longer term business and personal relationships down the road.
Sure. So you said you've been involved with other community organizations and other chambers of commerce. And now that you've been in position for a while, you've had an opportunity to get to know some people. Thinking about if you were going to start, if you're going to consider whether to join the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce again, would you join the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce again?
Yes.
Okay.
As a board member?
Or just as a general member?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then from that, now that you know what you know, what might you do differently based on those experiences that you've had?
I would, from what I learned, we can't just be a member and sit back and let the chamber work for you. We have to put our time in as well. Mm-hmm. What we want to see out of it, we have to invest that time or that effort to go to the luncheons, to go to the meetings, to go to Power Up, to attend signature events. We have to be able to do that. If those individuals, which, you know, think that they're going to, you know, whatever it is, $400 or for to become a member and allow the
magically
chamber to work for you, it doesn't work that way. We have to be able to put some face time in, be able to network, attend these meetings or these luncheons and mm-hmm. and put some effort in. And what the amount you put in is what you're going to get out.
Okay.
And I'm a firm believer in that now.
So you said you joined the chamber because you wanted to make more connections in the community, and you saw some opportunities to do that, and then you made enough connection with the people on the board that they said, hey, we think you'd like to have you be a part of this.
Absolutely. Right?
And so has you said, I think I heard you say earlier, that's been a big step up for you in terms of time commitment, but also in terms of benefit.
It has. Yes, time commitment, absolutely. But as far as the benefit, it just expands our horizons. I mean, now I've exposed myself to 30 people or 60 people, 100 people that I did not before. And, you know, whether they know me personally, whether they know the company, you know, that in it of itself is important. If they, hopefully we can say, if somebody has a needs for hotels or development or what have you, maybe it's an ABC Investments, maybe it's British that we need to talk to. And it also gains credibility for us as a company. When we did the transition or when it switched over from Dad and myself, when I actually officially came into the company, that was the new guiding principles, our mission, our goals, to do exactly that, to get involved in the community that has helped us. There's some, you know, we want to give back as well, but at the same time, we also want to gain credibility as a company, as an individual, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. And part of that is exactly this. I mean, being involved with the chamber, being involved on the board level, being able to make a difference, at least be at a level where we can make a change or do something where we can have the attempt. Otherwise, if we're sitting in the corner in the back saying, I wish this was going to happen, that was going to happen, let's be active about it. And that's important. You know, we're talking about 485 opening here soon, very soon, and looking at Hendrick Automall and how they developed there and they're anticipating the opening, what do we expect? Who do we need to talk to get some more insight about the 485 opening and how it's going to impact North Lake area, how it's going to impact Lake Norman, what development opportunities are there, whether it's residential, commercial. These are all things that I would not have been privy to if I didn't join, and not necessarily join, but attend these meetings or be on the board. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's huge benefit to that as well. I mean, there is time commitment, but I think the benefits outweigh the time commitment for sure.
If you were going to give a new member a tip about how to get more out of their chamber connections or their chamber involvement, what do you think you would say?
A new member, I would go back to the fact, go back to the statement that I was saying earlier, is that individual needs to put time into the chamber. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk for a second about that. What does that look like for you? How many hours a week or month or whatever you think?
For the board?
Yeah, if you're involved and if you're doing your chamber work, what does that look like to you? How many hours a week do you think that is, or month?
Our commitment, I think my time commitment per month, which is different now than I think next year, but is 10, 15 hours, solid hours a month.
Okay.
Whether it's board meetings, luncheons, chamber events, outside of that, whether we're doing meetings for planning meetings for our signature event, we're doing planning meetings for our monthly luncheons. Mm-hmm.
So for somebody who's pretty active, even on the board, it sounds like 3-4 hours a week.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not, it is a time commitment, but it's not like it's a part-time job.
No,
right?
No. Going back, a part-time job would be like being on the Choice Hotel Owners Council, that franchise advisory committee. That was a lot of work. That was a lot of work. But no, Charlotte Chamber, at 3-4 hours a week is plenty to get what we need to get done. We have our planning meetings, our monthly board meetings, but outside of that, planning luncheons and getting contact with the right people, if we're going to have a speaker panel and we need to spend some time on doing that. There's some luncheons that we actually had some people in my office and myself do some calls, try to get them involved and attend the luncheons. And so there are some things that we have to do for one event and not another, or vice versa. But
sure.
not a whole bunch. I mean, yeah, I think 3-4 hours a week is about accurate.
So you're, I think what I'm hearing you say is then, even with heavy engagement within the chapter, you're getting return on investment, and it's really just costing you a few hours a week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's, I mean, I think that's a story that I think is helpful to tell people, because people don't know. Mm-hmm. They think either, on the one end of the spectrum, they think maybe if I pay $400, I'm going to get all these people want to buy from me.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end of the spectrum, they think, well, gosh, I don't know, I got to be involved with every thing. I got to be down there all the time. I've got to be in, you know. And I think it's helpful. I've heard from several folks that kind of time commitment you're talking about is about where it fits for somebody who's pretty engaged.
I think so. And we've come across that too. Getting in, whether it's getting new members to join, renewing members, or getting individuals to be on the board level, mm-hmm. it we're faced with the same dilemma. And that's exactly, and I think that's where you're going with this, is that, you know, it's, why, if we ask that question, you know, why isn't this company or this individual not renewing? Because they don't get what they expected out of the chamber.
Sure.
But it's not that. You do have to put time into it. Sometime, I mean, just because your company name is in the directory doesn't mean you're going to get calls.
Right. Right.
You know, right. You have to have a face to the name and be exposed a little bit. And so I do suggest, I mean, for a new individual coming in, there has to be some investment, not a lot, some time commitment. Maybe attend a meeting every other month, or doesn't have to be every month, but in my business, it's a little bit different, as I explained, of what my networking looks like. But if it's a retail outfit, or if it's a big business, they might have networking opportunities that might come to fruition a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're very specific.
Right. Somebody has to be in that business model where they, you know,
right.
And it's not necessarily going to be now, but it might be, you know, I know somebody who does that. You know, and it could be 2 months from now.
Yeah.
I just had a situation where I met somebody who is a retained search consultant. They're a recruiter, but they're a retained recruiter as opposed to a filled position. They say, Pritish, we're going to hire you to find our next COO.
Okay.
And we're going to pay you monthly to find somebody. Whether you find somebody or not, we're going to pay you. Because that's just a different model for how recruiting works.
Sure.
And the next day I was talking with one of my clients, and she said, you know, we're thinking about hiring a COO. And I said, oh, well, why don't I make a connection with you to this company. I would not normally be in the market to broker a transaction like that. I'm certainly not brokering anything. I'm making a connection.
Absolutely.
But it didn't, if she had told me that 2 days before, I wouldn't have, you know, been able to say anything. In that situation, I called up the Jeff O'Hanlon with Preston & Partners and said, hey, they're thinking about hiring a C-level person. I bet they could use some advice. Not even that, you know, go sell something to them, but I mean, how often do you hire a C-level person?
Yeah.
You know, and do the people who are hiring even think through the things they would need to think through about that? There's an opportunity for you to just go serve them, go give them some help, talk to them about the things they should think about. You know, what are the things that most people wouldn't think about when hiring a
CEO? Absolutely,
I would certainly want to ask that question.
Sure, that's an important hiring.
Absolutely, and you don't know what you don't know. I think is part of the part of the process. So I think it's helpful even as we interact with people in the chamber. How do you know we don't know what we don't know until we start to have the conversation?
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Thanks for coming in and doing
good. That. Absolutely. Any other questions? I mean, kind of brief through a few things in here, but good. Well, you have my email if you have any questions.
I do. So a couple things. They're doing, so the way they're going to use this is still not 100% baked. They're going to definitely be taking some quotes from the interviews and using them for some advertising stuff that the chamber's going to do, telling
sure.
the stories of chamber members. They want to get headshots of everybody, and there's a photographer in the chamber who is doing the headshots. So if we can get you to schedule with him to do that, I'll send you his information, and you can coordinate with him and just swing by his studio, and because they're trying to get them all to have the same look.
Okay.
And it should be, you know, should be a fairly straightforward, painless process for you to do that. I'm excited about it. I think there's a lot of good material in what we've picked up from people, as I said, from the small business guy to the big business, and, you know, kind of where is the chamber playing and how is the chamber adding value.
Absolutely.
I think you and I probably ought to talk separate from this about the question of member engagement. I'm on the board of University City, And so we've been talking a lot about programming and member engagement and what we're doing in that space. And it's been fascinating. I did some, I got the chamber to give me a list of people, of businesses that are in our footprint who are members. And I've just cold calling them and saying, hey, I'm on the board. I'm not selling anything. I just want to talk to you about your experience. What is it that is not working, or what could the chamber do better? How can we help you? And it's been fascinating because some people I call say, oh, you have meetings? Other people will say, this one person say, you know, it'd be really helpful to me because I'm in the sign business, and we put up signs in buildings for, you know, rooms. If I knew about a building that was being built, a lot of times the sign contract isn't let until the end of the process.
Sure.
And so if I knew about companies that were building buildings, then they'd be good marketing targets for me to reach out to. And if I only had some idea of knowing companies that were building or opening buildings, I said, well, did you know the chamber has a new and expanded business report that they come out quarterly? They do? I didn't have any idea.
Yeah,
and actually, I had more than one person say that to me. I didn't have any idea that the chamber does this. And I talked with Paul Hendershot, who's in charge of research, and he said that's one of the most comprehensive, one of the biggest publications we have. And you know, people don't even know. So these resources are already, there's a gold mine of resources available for people who have specific needs, and they're not even aware that they're there. So we're trying to find ways within our chapter to help people. Another thing we started doing is every time we do programming, every monthly luncheon, we try to tie in what we call a two-minute tip. And it's just a business tip, something that'll help you with your business. So how to get the most out of your networking here at the luncheon, or how to be focused, or how to follow up with people afterward. There's been a couple of different ones we've done. Because people don't know. They just don't know. It doesn't occur to them. And so we've only been doing it for a few months, but we've had a lot of good feedback from people. And because it's such a brief thing, we can just incorporate it into our programming. We just kind of cut some time off the presenter, right? Whatever the speaker's going to talk about.
I think that's a fascinating idea. I think we're gearing up for next year's luncheon, so we've come up with the idea of doing a series. Mm-hmm. So they're related. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first quarter, we do three related. Mm-hmm. Topics that are in a series that allows those individuals who have come to the first one say, hey, you know what, this is great. I want to hear the next one and the next one. So that's kind of the idea of where we're gearing mm-hmm. towards. Yvette and I are going to have to get together and we'll kind of iron out what our topics are ahead of time.
I think it's a great idea. And I think that one of the things you can do in the luncheon is say, hey, is this area of an area of interest for you? We're going to be doing two more on the same topic or the same series.
Sure.
And why don't you bring somebody?
Yeah.
You know, because
that's great. Yeah.
And that way, because people won't think to do that. Oh, I went to this really interesting luncheon. They talked about, but they won't say, "British, why don't you come with me?"
Come with me, absolutely.
Right. So you say it out loud, right? Hey, why don't you bring somebody next month to come? We're going to talk about such and such, and so and so is going to be here, whatever that is. But I like that idea too. We've done a lot of public policy stuff in our chapter, which is valuable. There's, I mean, you know, 485. What's happening with that? What's the university? What's going on with that? We brought in Jack Trong from Electrolux, and that was one of our best attended luncheons. And I think it was a lot of small business people that were hoping to sell to Electrolux, which is understandable. One of the things that was very valuable from that is, and Jack did this, we didn't guide him on this, although I think we should on every time we ever do this again, is Jack brought all of his lieutenants with him. And they stayed after the luncheon and talked to people and collected business cards, and people had, you know, I mean, it was really from a community building perspective, very powerful. People still talk about that.
Yeah.
And it's not rocket science to say to the larger employer in your footprint, look, when you come, we're giving you access to this platform for you to build goodwill, and we're grateful that you're here. Don't misunderstand. Here's what we need you to do. Plan to bring your lieutenants and then stage them to stand up and talk to people. So he brought his VP of HR, and he brought his operations people, and they had lines. I mean, 20 deep line person waiting to talk to him, you know, and they each walked away with a stack of business cards. Now, candidly, I don't know, they may have gone to the recycle bin as soon as they walked out of the room, but fundamentally, those people got FaceTime with those executives. I mean,
that's valuable.
That's extremely valuable. Right. Even if Electrolux never bought anything from any of those people, just the goodwill alone, right? I had the opportunity, I talked to the VP of HR, I helped people become better leaders and influencers, communication, delegation, conflict management, that's kind of my business. the VP of HR has learning and development usually inside their organization. So I talked to her, who heads up OD and learning for your organization? Oh, it's so-and-so. Great, I'll reach out to them. And that gave me a chance to have a conversation. Now, that hasn't come to fruition yet. Bicycle's pretty long in my business. But still, FaceTime with that, you know, open the door for me to have that conversation. That's valuable.
It is. That's fantastic. I mean, it's what we're faced with in our chapter is that we see a lot of the same individuals attending the luncheons or signature events or what have you. And so we're faced with that dilemma, and we're, you know, nothing against our existing members that continue to come. And that's great. We want to push to those individuals who are not, those members who are not coming.
Well, and that's the reason I started doing some outreach calls to talk to people about it. And, you know, I don't have the code cracked, and I wouldn't say that I've done enough calls to have a statistically valid sample. But I will say it's been interesting because people, you know, one guy says, well, I've been in the chamber for 4 years. I've never attended a luncheon. I've been meaning to get to it. I just haven't gotten around to it. And partly that's, it feels like it's a project and it feels like I'm gonna have to figure stuff out and it may be a lot of time and I don't have time to think about that because I got this thing going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe if we can demystify it a little bit by saying, look, it's an hour a month. No. And at the luncheon, what you want to do is not pass out 30 business cards. What you want to do is make a connection with somebody, have a conversation with them, and then maybe it turns into coffee, maybe it turns into a business meeting, maybe, right? But it's about, let's get out there and have people see you.
Yes, exposure. That's right.
Right.
That's exactly.
So I think partly it's helping people grasp that idea. And in talking with the people, you know, I've said, what can we help you with? I don't know if I can help you or I can't help you, but what could I help you with? Is there any way I could help you with anything? And it's been interesting to hear people say, I mean, you know, the obvious, oh, we need more sales. Okay, well, I'm not going to come buy your stuff, right? But how can I help you find the people who need your stuff?
Sure.
You know, and how can I help you think about how to find the people who can help you buy your stuff? There's a program that's already happening here at the Chamber. Kathy Vitale heads it up. She's in member retention. Do you know Kathy?
I know Kathy.
Okay. So she has a program that she calls the Membership Maximizer, where they, I think it's once a quarter, bring people in and they talk about fundamentals of Chamber operation. How do you leverage the Chamber to get more business?
Sure.
It's a good program. And I think it'd be a good thing to do outreach for new members. From your, you know, if you guys had folks on the committee calling out to people saying, hey, did you know there's a Maximizer? Why don't you see if you can get signed up?
And I've actually attended one of those too, but we even thought about bringing Kathy to our, as a luncheon, to do the Maximizer as a luncheon. You know, so we had discussion that hasn't really come to any type of fruition.
Well, I think that from that perspective, I think what you have to do though is you're preaching to the choir, so to speak, right? Those are the people who are already in attendance
every
week.
Exactly.
How do you do the outreach? And I've been kind of kicking around, and we actually are planning to do this in our chapter, which has been a little slower get traction than I might have anticipated. But doing like a meetup type event, so it's not a full luncheon, and it's not even necessarily for a fee, but an outreach to the people who are on our footprint and saying, this, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to talk about how to get the most from your chamber membership, or we're going to talk about, you know, even things like, I think, pain points that people are feeling in their business. How do you prepare for tax time?
Sure.
You know, how do you find an accountant? How do you find? I was talking with a dentist the other day, and I said, you know, how am I supposed to tell whether this dentist is competent or not for my kid? And he says, well, actually, it's pretty hard.
That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, how am I supposed to know? He said, well, it's really about pain and bedside manner. That's really, if you're feeling pain, he said, but other than that, it's really, as a layperson, he said, as a practicing dentist, I can tell you, I can look at your mouth and tell you whether your dentist is any good. Now, whether I trust his opinion, I don't know, right?
Sure,
how would I know?
Sure.
But you know, that kind of thing, how do you pick a service provider, you know, whether it's a marketing firm or whether it's, you know, increasing your sales or whether it's an accountant or whether it's a, you know, whatever those services are, how would you even begin? And I think those are more micro meetings rather than saying you're going to get 30 people there. Maybe you're going to get five who will come, but there might be five newer people to come. And thinking about how do we do outreach to those people who are not already coming to be able to try and get them, you know, drawn in by offering. Because obviously we're not doing, it's not valuable enough, right? For whatever those people that are not coming, they're not seeing the value.
Right. And they're not seeing a value, or they don't know the value
right,
because they haven't attended. And that was one of the things I had had written is that the chamber has, either through individuals, companies, or resources through the chamber itself, it's a very, very resourceful, it's a resource in and of itself. You know, whether I'm talking to you and, you know, I can ask you questions and you might have answers, maybe not, somebody else might, but the chamber itself is a resource. I mean, if you tap into this major resource,
right,
and let it work for you, I mean, that's really the importance of what I see. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we can get buy into that concept, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what I see on the big scale, is that if we have buy-in, and there are individuals who do attend regularly and they understand that.
Well, and even from that standpoint, can you, so we're kicking around and I'm just kind of brainstorming here, but one of the things I'm thinking about is, could we pitch an entry level introduction to helping you with your business, whatever your pain point happens to be, and then can we say to people at the luncheon, hey, try and bring somebody to that, or tell somebody about it. Could I ask you to, you know, before the end of the day, could you tell somebody about this, please? Now, what's your take rate going to be? It's going to be fairly low, but maybe you're going to draw a few people, you know, sure, out of that space. But trying to help people, you know, get the word out about what we're trying to accomplish. Because my vision is, there's a lot of people that need help, and we can help each other. The chamber's only got 45 people. They can't directly engage one-on-one.
Absolutely.
But, you know, people, if somebody in your footprint came up to you and said, hey, could you help me figure out how to make a connection? I'm trying to solve this problem where, even if it was outside of your investment and property and, you know, real estate space, you might be able to say, you know what, you might want to talk to so-and-so.
Absolutely. And we do that. I mean, you know, if I'm in the business and somebody comes to me and say, hey, what kind of accountant do you use? Who do you use? I mean, I'll forward them over and I'll say either, and I'll maybe push them over to Dale. And
right.
Say, hey, talk to Dale. Dale's a competent CPA. He's got two offices. We talked about a few things, and not this tax season, but maybe next tax season, and
right,
why even use him, because we're way down the road here.
Right.
Whatever it may be, legal counsel.
Right. Right. How do you find an attorney?
Who prints my business cards?
Right.
There you
right.
Go.
And then there's all kinds of opportunities like that. And I think what I'm thinking is, if we can get some of those people who are not engaged, because I did the math on ours, and it's basically 80% of the people in the footprint don't come. Well, if we're only hitting 20%, I mean, imagine if 20%, only 20% of the guests in your hotels came back.
Yeah, that's lousy.
Right, yeah. Right, because you want people to be like, this place is great.
Yeah,
even exactly. When they mess up, they're nice to us, and we want to come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that what I'd like to see is, okay, it's not going to be 100%, because some people join the chamber for reasons that are not related to networking, it's business and whatever, fine. But for that, you know, maybe it's not 20%, maybe it's 50% or 60%, whatever. What would that make the dynamic in the room like?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I found out, I didn't know, is that the sponsorship dollars that get paid for your tables at your luncheon are retained within your footprint. And you as a board have the ability to make decisions about how to spend that money. But that had never been, I had to ask that question. Because we brought up the idea, well, can we comp people to our luncheon? And oh, well, I guess there is a way you could do that, because you do have some money in a budget that, you know, that you have authority over. Wait, there's a budget we have authority over? We didn't know. You know, it might be $1,000 or $2,000, might, you know, be a trivial amount of money.
Sure.
But what if you said, we're gonna do a deal where you can bring, you know, we'll award somebody during a luncheon a free luncheon and bring a free, you know, bring somebody to
a
free luncheon for free.
Absolutely.
You know, so it costs you $40 or whatever out of your chamber budget. There might be value in that. You know, you might choose to say, this month we're going to give away a luncheon, you know, give away a luncheon, but the deal is you have to bring somebody who's not in your office, right, to the next luncheon.
That's a good idea.
So just trying to find, you know, I'm trying to think of different ways we might be able to drive up that engagement.
Well, good. Well, it was great conversation. I mean,
well, thanks. I appreciate you making the time.
Absolutely. I get you. Let's keep in contact, and if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a quick email.
And I'll shoot you an email with the photographer, and if you can get that set up in the next week or two, just swing by and get your picture taken. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Very good. Tom, I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming down, man.
Absolutely. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.